Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Insane in the Fembrain.
Insane in the Fembrain.
Greetings. Insane in the Fembrain, here we are again. I love doing these. I love doing Insane in the Fembrain and Membrane. Before we get into it, don't forget, I've got my radio show on Islington Radio. It's available on Mixcloud, the Tuned Up Time Machine, with me, Rich Wilson, bringing you the best in music from all manner of places, from all manner of years and genres. I love doing the show. I guarantee you will love listening to it. So get yourselves over to Mixcloud, stick that in your luggles as soon as you can. You'll enjoy it, I promise you. So back to the podcast. I hope you're doing all right. I hope everyone's well. And some wonderful feedback from some lovely people, 5-star reviews. We've got Gav Cross. Hello, mate. Gav Cross again. Hello. Lovely to have you over this side from Membrane. Thank you, Gav. We've got Vet Nurse Lisa. Hello, Lisa. Hope you're doing all right, mate. 5-star review. Thank you, mate. Wonderful podcast. That's nice. Lucy from England. Funny and fascinating. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And we've got Pandor 718. Thank you again. Thank you for your lovely messages and your wonderful reviews. It's really nice of you. It just makes it worthwhile. To know that people are listening and enjoying it. And you know, the thing with Fembrain, the reason I started it, as you might remember, or you might not, I'll tell you anyway, is that, you know, I had that conversation with Jade where I didn't know as much about women as I thought I did. And so what better way to find out than to go and speak to women? And sometimes it's a bit clunky how I ask the questions, but you know, my intentions are pure. I want to know about the guest. I want to know about women's issues and what it's like to be a woman and the things, you know, things that people go through, and it's been enlightening to say the least. So thank you to all of our past guests, and thank you to all the wonderful listeners and everyone for being there and helping me on my journey of discovery. Because you don't realize what a caveman you are sometimes. You just don't. It's only taking someone else to go, actually we're not doing that anymore. We go, oh, okay. But here we are, Fembrain, wonderful. Thank you very much, everyone. My guest this week is a great friend of mine, Zoe Lyons. Zoe Lyons, who I've known, I met Zoe through comedy. We've worked together many, many times. And she's one of those people that I'm just so pleased to see her every time I see her. And I tell you what, you'll see in this episode, Zoe and I, really, we connected. We hadn't spoken to her for a while. We hadn't seen each other for a while. And you know, this is what you'll hear is two friends connecting and getting and connecting up again. You know, like we haven't spoken to each other, like I say, and you'll feel as you go along, as you get into it, you'll hear what happens, and it was a joy. And I genuinely was. I know I say this all the time, and I genuinely am, but I was really buzzing when I came away from this having spoken to Zoe. I didn't realise how shit I was feeling. And then speaking to Zoe just made me realise, I'm like, oh, it was a tonic. It was wonderful, like medicine. So have a listen. You'll love this. I love Zoe. She's a great person, a wonderful human being. So coming up in a bit, Zoe Lyons.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
So you're all right. Okay. I saw your post the other day about your alopecia.
Yeah.
And that, I've wanted to get you on for ages. And then I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know much about alopecia. And how are you feeling? How does that, what's going on?
So where am I? I'm currently living in a friend's converted garage in the New Forest.
Oh, nice.
Because one never knows really how one will behave during a global pandemic. No. And we've been given that experience. And it turns out I'm a bit of an arse.
Oh.
And where are we now? What month is this?
November.
How long has this particular box set been going on? This box set of pandemic.
This March. Is March, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's what, 8 months? Yeah. Like a lot of people, I think I went into sort of like some sort of toxic shock.
Right.
When everything stopped, didn't it?
Within and, 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and as a sort of working comedian, I think I've worked quite hard over the last few years. So it took quite a lot, like a sort of like a cargo ship coming to a halt. It took quite a while to sort of realise what was happening.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then, like a really shitty game of dominoes, everything just sort of fell. And like a lot of people in our profession, like a lot of people in a lot of professions, I really struggled with it, Rich. Mm. Really struggled with it, because I guess a lot of comedians identify as comedians, and if you're not being a comedian, you sort of lose yourself a little.
Yeah.
And a bit of a shock. Anyway, long story short, too late, they cry. It's culminated in myself and my partner of 22 years separating and me living with friends in a converted garage in the New Forest surrounded by ponies. So that's where I'm at.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right. It'll make a great chapter, I'm sure, at some point.
It's like Jade and I, the lockdown was fine, the first one. We all got on with it. And I've already said in other episodes, I was quite zen about everything. I was like, oh, it's all gone, but it's gone. Everybody's in the same boat.
Yes.
But then after the lockdown, that's when we'd already been having trouble before the lockdown, Jade and I. We'd been having couples counselling. And then the lockdown was fine. We kind of went, well, we need to make this work so we don't kill each other. And we did. And then afterwards, it was like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go and stay at a mate's. So... yeah, and so we're in the same thing. We're currently in between.
Yes. Are you at a friend's house?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is that okay?
Yeah. It's just odd. It's like it's a weird kind of. It's a kind of no man's land, like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you're the same.
Oh,
with
totally.
You.
I mean, I wake up every morning and I feel like a free floating particle.
Yeah.
I just feel like a bit of dust. And you've got to try and find some surface to sort of adhere yourself on so that you don't sort of spiral off into the universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just finding ways of doing that, isn't it? But, you know, like you, I have very, very good friends who've allowed me to, well, let's be honest, cry on their floor for the last 3 months. Their floors are spotless now. So every cloud has a silver lining. The slight acidity of my tears has cut through quite a deep layer of grease on their kitchen floor, and they are sparkling, sparkling.
The human
despair
still bang.
Gets into the grouting and makes it shimmer and shine. But, you know, absolutely, it makes you embrace true friendship and be very grateful for that.
Oh,
incredibly
God,
incredibly grateful for that.
My mate's been amazing. He's just gone like, stay here, stay as long as you want. Don't worry about anything.
I'm very aware that a lot of people will be in our situation but won't have that luxury. And that I feel, you know, it's something I'm eternally grateful for.
Yeah. I'm not used to being on my own that much. I realised I didn't. And so there's a lot of being in bed on your own, and you sort of that other person isn't there, and you're like, oh right.
Okay. Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you do something, you want to phone somebody, or yes, it's really odd. It's really odd. So yes, to go back to your original observation, as a result of that, my hair has also decided to part ship. Not all of it.
No.
Not all of it. I look like I think the look I'm currently sporting is a medieval Japanese monk. that's the vibe I'm going for heavily. I've been lucky in that I can still cover it mostly.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of telly jobs where they've had to paint in the patches. Nothing makes you feel like a middle-aged TV presenter than having your patches painted in, let me tell you. sometimes I'm like, don't choose the brown colour, go ginger. Let's see if anybody notices.
The magic of television.
I know. So, yeah, I've had this since I was a kid. I first got it when I was a kid and half of it fell out. And then it sort of come back every now and again. But this is a particularly brutal attack.
Yeah.
So I've just started. I've never taken medicine before, but I started taking a course of steroids.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you. Let me fill you in on that little juggernaut of fun. When I went to the doctor, he went, I take these in the morning because they can give you quite a buzz. And I was like, mate, I thoroughly enjoyed the clubbing scene in London in the 90s. I think I know and appreciate what a buzz is.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong. Very different buzz.
Really?
Very different buzz. Oh, my good God. Rich, if you'd wanted your house painting, I'd have come down around and done it in half an hour, but whilst crying at the same time. I've never been so hyper and so sad at the same time. It's remarkable.
That's a strange feeling, isn't it, being that up and down at the same time?
Honest to God.
Yeah.
It's like the bookend of emotions. I've sat here just jittering, but just bawling my eyes. Like I've had like 80 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and then crying at the same time. But but they're calming down now. So that's quite, I'm sort of entering orbit again. So that's quite good. That's a bit of a relief. But the hope is that, she says, talking 10 to the dozen. The hope is that it'll sort of stimulate some sort of hair growth. What we're hoping for is hair growth on the head. What we'll probably have, because it's 2020, is full chest and back hair.
Yeah,
a completely downy back sack and crack. And I'll look more like Demis Roussos. But never mind, we'll just comb it over.
You'll do that, that Mike Gunn joke where you're coming up from your ass.
yeah. Just comb it up. Just comb it over from the crack of my ass. Yes, that's what I'm going for.
And that's the thing, and you've had this since you were a child. And it's stress related, is it?
Yeah. I probably got it when I was about 11. Yeah, my parents got divorced and it was all a bit stressful and it just started sort of coming out in clumps. And my mother would brush my hair in the morning and there'd just be this ball of hair. And she'd put it out the window and go, that's for the birds to make a nest with. I think she was trying to make me feel better. I mean, the birds in the local area had luxurious nests.
Wonderful nests.
wonderful, wonderful nests of hair. But the thing that really, and I'm not particularly vain. You can't be when you've got a face like mine. What would be the point? But it'd be entirely pointless. But the thing that really bothers me at the moment, because it's getting a bit cold, it's just a bit drafty.
Oh, yeah.
It's really drafty.
You don't realise it. I shaved my beard off recently and I went, oh, my God, I can feel.
Yeah,
it feels odd.
The wind. I can't remember you without a beard.
It's grown back now. I haven't got any lips.
Okay.
So I have to have a beard. I have to have some sort of facial hair. For years, when I was with my ex, Marilyn, and she was all like, you look better with stubble, better with stubble. And I'm like, nah, it looks dirty. And then it became fashionable.
Yeah.
So I kept it. And now, I shaved it off once, and I walked in, and Jade went, no.
No.
Don't have any. There's nothing going on underneath your nose. So
I can't remember. Do you contour it around this sort of jaw area?
Yeah, initially, and then I just let it go, and it just off it pops. Yeah, I'm a very hairy man.
Lucky you, show off.
I'm bragging.
Rub it in.
Want to borrow some?
Thank you.
Shit, sorry.
Bloody rub it in. Say it like Kojak.
I don't know, I'm sitting there going, mate, I've got too much hair, if anything. How did you deal with it when you were a kid? Did it freak you out? Or did you sort of understand it?
Yeah, I mean, we knew what it was. And it's such a funny thing, alopecia, particularly the sort I've got, which is alopecia areata, which it falls out in patches.
Right.
I've been lucky enough in that it's always grown back, although this time it is taking its time, thus the steroids. So I'm very lucky. You can have alopecia, which is total hair loss, complete hair loss, and it doesn't grow back. So that's very distressing. You've got to get it into perspective, but it does upset me, and it did upset me as a child. The only 11-year-old girl at school with a comb over is probably not how you want to be remembered, but it particularly if you're a bit of an odd kid anyway,
right?
Which most comics are. That's the needy. Individuals that we are.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. I did a thing on Facebook a little while ago just saying it was not so much the gigs, it was the fact that our little world got taken away, that we found somewhere that we all fit into.
Yes.
And we all silently understood each other. We all know we're a bit odd.
Yes, yes. Those conversations that you have in green rooms that you can't have anywhere else. Because we could all take it. We can take a conversation and then pump it up by, 20%. And we know we're joking, and we know what we're, it's a different environment. It's a different environment. And it's, that's sad missing that.
Yeah.
That is sad missing that.
Yeah, because there were a few gigs that did happen in between times. And everyone said the same thing. It was the green room that they'd missed as well. I know I've spoken to some other people and they're going, oh, we need the stage and we need the attention. And I'm like, no, I don't actually. I love being a comedian. I love performing. But I don't need that so much. It doesn't fuel me. But the green room and the community did.
And the chat, definitely.
And I missed that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's. It's hard for us to work from home, isn't it?
Well, this is it. We're all trying to make our laptops laugh now. I had a chat with Joey Page, and I hadn't spoken to Joey since I was in Edinburgh the year before last year. And it was so nice to speak to him. I've been lucky with this podcast. Like now I get to speak to you, and we haven't seen each other for a while, but it's nice to connect again.
Yeah. It's very important.
It is important, isn't it?
Really, really important. And it will come back. It really will. I think this last few weeks is, despite everything, I feel more positive about the future now. And things will come back because we want them to.
Yeah.
Because life will continue. I mean, I'm going to say something really stupid now.
Go on.
Brace yourself. Oh. I'm allowed to. We're in a pandemic. You can do whatever you like.
Of course you can.
But life is incredible, and the desire for life is incredible. Whenever I see a tree growing out the side of a building, I go, that's fucking incredible.
Yeah. I totally know what you mean.
A tree is grown out the side of a building. Its desire to grow and to be, even though it has no roots in soil, is amazing. And, you know, humans are like that. We will grow off the side of things. So
yes,
it will come back.
I said that the other day. I was going, the circuit that we knew will be different, but there'll be a dark corner somewhere we can stand and do our thing and...
Yeah.
And people will want us to do it as well. There's been a lot of messages, people going, oh, we can't wait till it's back and, you know, yes. We can go and see stuff and, what you know, do things. And it's that, yeah, like you say, it will find a way.
It will find a way.
Yeah.
And this will only be a massive waste of time if we learn nothing from it. It'll be, you know, if we can take, and everybody will be able to take even a minute bit of positivity from this. We have to, you know, be it clear skies, be it listening to the birdies, be it realizing that actually your daily commute into your job every day was killing you, and it's and taking stock and reevaluating.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You know, every little bit of work that we get, we're grateful for now. But perhaps, like a lot of people, there were times where you just go, yeah, hoover it up. I love it. It's taking stock and being aware, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it was like with Jade and I separating, and it was just, look, we're not getting on. There's no point in being around each other if we're not getting on.
Mm.
It was neither of us were happy.
Yes.
You know, we were sad that we are living elsewhere, and we're talking and we're hanging out and we're having a nice time and we're working stuff out.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's still a way to go, but we couldn't have carried on as it was.
No, you know? A lot of people would have done though, Rich. This is what I'm learning, talking to people as well. I mean, you know, in my own personal position, I could probably have carried on. And then there's, you have two choices in life, don't you? I've always considered myself to be a rather selfish person, but actually by doing that, I'm actually laying things out quite openly initially by going, I'm a rather selfish person. So by saying that, I've sort of taken the selfishness out of it by going, well, this is what I am.
Yeah. Yeah, you
get on board or fuck off.
Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about
it. It's not a surprise.
No.
I'm not, you know, I haven't just pulled it out of a back pocket and go, oh, look what I found in there, just a massive dollop of selfishness. No, I don't believe in a God, but I believe that you have one life and you're supposed to live it the best you can possibly live it. And sometimes you have to go through extreme pain to get to that new part.
Yeah, you're right. You are right. I'm the same. I've got a selfish streak in me that I fight all the time. I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it from other relationships that I've been in. And they've said to me, you're a nice guy, but you're a bit self-centered sometimes.
We're comedians, of course.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's what we do.
Yeah. You know when I'm up there being all needy? Yeah.
You don't get a comedian standing on stage going, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at the person over there. It's look at me.
I had it at Comedia, actually, in Brighton. I said something. I can't remember what I said. And the whole crowd went, aw. And I just sat on a chair and I went, look, I appreciate what you've just done, but what I'm saying isn't really real. It's there's a kernel of truth in it. I said, but you know, I'm not really. I know I'm being a bit sort of, you know, self-deprecating, but you know, I can't walk out here and go, I'm a fucking legend. I actually think I'm great in bed. And I was breaking it down while we were sat there. You know, when you're up there, you're out. You can be. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't wander around going, I'm fucking brilliant, but. You know, sometimes I'm not as insecure as I make out on stage sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
that sounds wank. I don't even know what I'm trying to say now. What the fuck am I talking about? I don't know.
Well, we make ourselves look more insecure on stage because it's endearing, isn't it?
Yeah. But the fact that we're up there in the first place.
It makes it very obvious that we are not as vulnerable as we feel.
Yeah. We're all right.
Yeah, there are, you know, it's, I know social anxiety gets spoken about a lot, but let's be brutally honest, if you are that horrifically socially anxious, chances are you're not going to be on the stage in front of 500 people.
Not
so
really.
It's different levels, isn't it,
yeah.
really?
I get,
of it.
Yeah, I think I'm, my anxiety in social situations comes. I am insecure in that respect. If it's someone I've never met before, I get anxious. Mm-hmm. I get really nervous about meetings and just seeing. Like Jade will go, oh,
business meetings or.
But just, yeah, any kind of sort of business or Jade will go, right, we're going to this place and we're meeting these people. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I hate that.
I've got
to
come meet new people. And it's not because I don't want to. It's just that I just panic that they're going to think I'm a dickhead.
Yeah. I think that's quite common, though. But I think when you speak to most people feel that. So once you realise that, it sort of takes the strength out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Most people have a sort of sense of insecurity that they carry around with them all of the time. Some people are better at hiding it than others. But we all don't want to look like a dick.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
We all don't want to look like a dick. Whenever I'm in a sort of work scenario, work meeting, inside is just screaming. Yeah. My insides are screaming. They can see you have no fucking clue what you're talking about. They can see it in your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your eyes are flickering. You're giving it away. You don't know what you're talking about. Let's be brutally honest, Lyons. It's luck that you've made it this far, isn't it? And it's that imposter syndrome. I mean, we all have it where you're just waiting for somebody to come along and take your clown card away.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Although saying that, it's, in the last couple of years, before this shit went down, that imposter syndrome had kind of gone away a bit. Because we'd done, you know, we've travelled the world. That's a lovely thing as well. But we've sacrificed a lot to get to where we were. And I got to a point. I'm like, no, actually. I've worked at this, yeah.
Well, I think that is good to do as well, to sort of lay out your sort of CV in front of you and go, well, that stands for something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny, Brits are much, we're not great at sort of patting ourselves on the back. Americans are annoyingly brilliant at it. They take it too far. If you've ever had to introduce an American onto the stage, you know, you're given their entire breakdown of their work history for the last 10 years. But they have no shame or embarrassment about screaming about their accolades, whereas we in the UK, we're like, I don't mention that, it's embarrassing.
I know, yes.
Yeah. So you want a Nobel Peace Prize? I know, but don't mention it. It's embarrassing.
It's just a little thing I did. I don't need to. Oh, don't make a fuss.
Yeah. And I think somewhere in the middle, maybe the Canadians have it right. I don't know how they approach stuff, but we need to be something in the middle and sort of, you know, acknowledge what we've done is good and give it some...
Yeah.
Give it a round of applause.
I think so. Yeah, be proud of what you've done.
I
was in New Zealand and I think I was talking about something and an audience member went, oh, come on. because they don't mind a bit of self-deprecation, but if you do it too much...
Yeah.
They get a little bit, mate, come on, you got to believe in yourself. And then going back to, like I said, in Brighton, it's the same thing. It's like, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find that balance.
Because
you don't want to look, again, you don't look like a dickhead, an arrogant piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, someone was saying the other day, why do you give a fuck what people think of you? I'm like, I don't know. I've just got
but
this
image.
People
in do, me. Though, don't you? Otherwise, if you don't give a fuck what people think about you, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
That is what you are. You're just a psychopath.
Yeah.
If you have absolutely no care in the world about what people think about you, you are a sociopath or a psychopath.
That is what I liked about John Ronson's book. When you're reading it and you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then halfway through, when he's talking to there's a bit in it about talking to this doctor and she says, look, if any of your readers are at this point and they're thinking, oh, am I a psychopath? No.
They're not a psychopath.
Because you're thinking about it. It was a really nice moment.
Yeah.
So are you still in touch with your missus or?
Yes, we are. Yes. There's no handbook or manual as to how about going about these things. But we are adults who love each other very much and want to make things as easy and as human as possible.
Yeah.
I think it's and we were speaking last night and I said, I don't care what anybody else thinks. We will create a relationship for ourselves. If it's inconvenient or not inconvenient, unconventional rather.
Yeah.
I don't care. What I do care about is having some form of relationship where, you know, we can still care about each other. Mm. And there's no rules about how that has to be. And, you know, we don't have kids. We're very lucky.
Yeah.
We both work. We're incredibly lucky in that respect. We have very little responsibility. I have a geriatric Jack Russell, but, you know, he's 14. He's going to be a pair of slippers soon. So I have very little responsibility because I've designed my life that way. So that we can, and nobody's going to dictate how we can have a relationship with each other in the future if we want to be in each other's lives. And I think that's very, very important.
Oh, that is, yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
You know, nobody else, it's nobody else's business, Sodom. You know, we'll do what we want to do and we'll make it work the way we want it to work because yeah. We both love each other and we're both adults and we don't have to answer to anybody.
Oh, that's, yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. It's, yeah. It's just like Jade and I.
You do.
Yeah, Jade and I get on. We get on really well. It's just other stuff sort of got in the way, and you know, I do love her. I love her very much, and it's a shame it got to where it did. And it's just this weird. I get it wrong as well. I always go, oh, I won't message her. I'll leave it, and then she's like, I've not heard from you. I'm like, oh, shit, sorry.
Oh God.
And then she thinks she's like, oh, no. I just thought I'd leave you for a bit. You know, and then or that you could message too much, and it's I always get it wrong.
But I do, the best way to get over that though, Rich, is just to talk about it with each other and go, what is the right level of messaging you then?
Rather
than trying to second guess each other, you know, sort of make, you know, because we all have these, you know, we have these things that go on in our heads that a lot of the time aren't even true. So it's just talking to each other, really, isn't it? And just going, is that all right or is that not all right?
Yeah, you know? We've been having couples counselling.
How's that been going? I didn't want to. Only because my granite-like streak of cynicism that runs through me like a rocky vein, we just couldn't cope with the idea of sitting opposite some woman with big earrings and a fucking pashmina telling me where I was going wrong in my life. I just couldn't bear the thought of it. And I know that's really cynical, and I know people really benefit from counselling and talking and... I'd have to find a really good one, Rich. That's all I'm saying.
But they say that doesn't, just because someone is a counsellor and you've gone to them doesn't mean they're the right one.
No, I mean,
sometimes it takes two or three.
Anybody can be a psychotherapist. You don't even need any qualifications. You can just call yourself a psychotherapist. And living in Brighton, which I normally do, I'm knee deep in quacky psychotherapists, you know, with the sound of fucking Tibetan singing bowls behind them and whale music in the distance. And I couldn't give a shit, quite frankly. And just because they've been on a retreat in Cornwall for 3 days reading books and burning candles doesn't mean they have any right to tell me how to live my life. So it would be tricky. You can see where I'm coming from. It really wouldn't be beneficial.
Fucking hell. Oh, I see what, yeah, cool.
Have you tried meditating? Have you tried fucking off?
I think it's, yeah. I was the same. I'd had a counsellor before who was great to start with and then it kind of wasn't. And then I stopped seeing him. But
yeah,
he did do
his. Do you think they get to a point where they're like, right, I've done all I can do with this person, but, you know, it's 60 quid an hour. I can't eat an MOT,
keep going. I've got holidays to pay for. to his credit, he did say, he goes, look, I'm not here to make money. I want to make you better or, you know, help you back on the path.
Oh.
So that was nice. But then he
believed him.
Well, the thing is, he said that. But then every time, he was very good.
I'm not here for the money. Well, then you're a weirdo.
Yeah.
You're a very nosy weirdo.
Just likes the goss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he made me buy all his ointment and stuff. It was weird. And then he did get to a point. He kept on about the money a bit. And I was like, hang on a minute.
I thought it wasn't about the money.
Yeah. There was something happened. And I just went, I don't need to come here anymore. I need to go. Lovely bloke, lovely bloke, and he did help me out. But he was sat there one day and he was yawning and fidgeting, and I'm like, "You're right." And he went, "You're just giving off a lot of anger, and it's quite a lot to take, and it's exhausting." And I was sort of sat there going, "What?" Yeah, I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, your energy's angry." And I'm like, "I was the most chilled out I've ever been that day."
Yeah.
He just said I was good. I'm like, I'm not coming here anymore.
I'm not being funny, though, but if I was paying somebody to listen to me, I'd say, suck up that anger.
Fucking right, mate. What do you think I'm paying
you for? Like a sponge, mate. Like a bloody sponge, or at least fake interest.
£100 an hour, you will fucking take this on the chin. But the couple's counsellor's great. She's, because there has been a couple of times that Jade and I have been at each other, And Deborah, I shouldn't say her name, but she will stand up and go, right, time out, enough.
Yeah.
And then she goes, look, it's not even about respect for yourselves. Have some respect for me. I'm sat in the middle of this.
Well, that's quite good.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's a good point. Well put, actually.
Yeah.
Although there was one, when we do it, there's a bit where you have to tell each other where you're at. So they go, right, who wants to go first? And then you tell each other what you're doing. And we'd already been arguing on the way there. And then I'm doing my bit and I'm going, what's this and it's that? And Jade went, oh, boo-hoo. Oh, fucking boo-hoo.
Oh, Jade.
And then it's been the other way around. Like Jade would be saying, so I go, oh, fuck off. Yeah. Fuck off with this shit.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to this bollocks. So, yeah, we've got a way to go. We're doing it.
Are you feeling all right, though?
I don't know. I am and I'm not. I'm up and down. So I'm all right. I try and keep busy. Yeah. And then I've never felt despair like this before.
Yes.
I've felt sad, but despair.
Yeah, I've likened it to being a crab, sort of that's got rid of one shell and is waiting for the next to harden, but in that sort of really... really peculiar soft danger zone where anything could just pick you to death.
Yes. Yeah. Having to hide under rocks so the birds don't get you.
Until you've hardened, your new shell is hardened. You're like, I feel so exposed and quite soft.
Yeah.
I'm a perfect seagull snack right now.
Yeah.
I've been very brave and got rid of my exterior because I'd moved on and outgrown. But right now, my genitals are completely exposed.
And
if these steroids don't kick in, I've got exposed furnace genitals just waiting to be pecked at by a fucking seagull. So come on, exterior, harden
chop,
up.
Chop.
Yeah. Let's form a shell and carry on.
I think what fucks me off about this as well is that I gave it my all. This relationship, because I'd fucked up all the others, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do it this time. I know what I did before. I'm going to give this my all. Mm-hmm. And it still went in the fucking shitter.
Well, you know why that is.
Go on.
Well, because there's two of you in the relationship,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
True.
It doesn't matter if you've given it your all, yes, and you wanted it really badly. If it is not countered exactly by the other participant, then it doesn't matter.
That's true. Yeah.
You can give it, and it's not your fault that by giving it your all, you weren't able to achieve what you wanted to achieve because it's, you know...
It's not up to you, is it?
Because there's somebody else involved.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're involved, but yeah.
So it's, don't beat yourself up about that. And if you really, truly feel that you've given it your all and you laid everything on the line, then be proud of that. At least you can, because a lot of people can't.
Yeah, that's true. How do you feel about everything? Are you...
Now, how do I feel? I won't lie to you, Rich. I've had the worst 4 months of my life. And I would say this isn't for everybody.
No.
And I would say, you know, to the outside world, it probably appeared that I had almost a perfect relationship. And I had a very I did have a happy relationship. I just wanted something more. And there have been times where I've been in complete confusion and complete... sorrow. I've never felt sorrow like it, just engulfing waves of sorrow. But I would do it again because it obviously needed to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be sat here.
That's true, actually, yeah.
These things don't happen for shits and giggles.
No.
It wasn't like I completed Netflix and went, well, what can I do now? I think just having all of that time on our hands and being able to reflect on our lives and where we are and what makes us happy and what makes us unhappy and what we want for the next, say, 20 years, if we're lucky. I don't think I'd ask myself some questions for quite some time because I'd just been busy.
Yeah.
I'd been really busy and distracted and kept... I lived largely in an imagined future, which I think a lot of people do.
Yes.
You know, it'll be better when I've got this, it'll be better when I've got that, it'll be better when this happens, and then when that happens, this'll be better, and that'll be better. And all of that actually doesn't exist. It's just an imagined future in my head, whereas the only thing that you do have is the brutal present. And maybe we've all just been a lot more present. And
I think you're right. I think, because I'm 48, and so, you know, I'll be 50 in a year and a half.
Yeah, I'm 49.
I think...
And there's a lot, yeah, there's something in that as well, I think. Of course there is.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel, I've even said this, I'm like, I don't have time to fuck about like this anymore. And I know that sounds harsh, maybe, but...
No, it's not harsh. You see, it's not harsh because it's not harsh.
No.
It's a fact.
Yeah. You're like, I've got 20, 25, 30 at a push, if I'm lucky.
25 good ones, 5 shit ones, let's be honest.
Yeah. 5 where you're wiping my ass.
Yeah. Well, not me, but somebody else will. Yeah, sponge on a stick.
That's all that. Maybe you and I will end up living in this.
Maybe we'll end up together. I've always felt very close to you.
Same. I think we have a bond.
I do like a hairy man. Despite being a gay lady, I'm very much like a manly man. And I've always thought of you as quite a manly man.
Well, this is it. I've always felt there's a connection between us. Footwear, we just get on.
Footwear.
You know.
We don't dress dissimilarly.
No, I know. Every time I see you, I'm aware I'm like, I wonder what she's wearing today. And it's like, good kicks, man. Good kicks.
And if these steroids kick in, I might have a little beardy like you too. We could be the next big gay bear couple.
I'm up for it. Let's do
it. I'm up for it. Sod it. Do you know what? I've thrown a hand grenade into my life. Let's do whatever we want.
Let's pull the pin on that bad boy.
Fuck it. Let's do it.
Imagine the fucking, the whole industry would be, what is happening?
I know. I'm sure we'd get some sort of, we'd definitely get another podcast out of it. At the very least, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would.
Yeah, we definitely would. And then there'd be a spin-off. Channel 5 would love it. That sounds very Channel 5.
There'd be documentary after documentary. We'd get a travel show.
Yeah.
There you go.
Definitely. My next girlfriend is my boyfriend, Channel 5, coming soon. Yeah. With a cherry chest. Not looking too dissimilar to Demis Roussos.
Oh,
I'm totally getting
spiffy.
A caftan. If I take off in a sort of a hirsute manner, I'm getting a caftan and just embracing it.
You have to.
Yeah.
Although you might
there
look
we
like
go.
You
sorted
end up...
this out.
There you
this
go.
Is, this is the love that dare not speak its name, Rich. We've been forced together like star-crossed lovers.
Oh, imagine us doing caftans. We look like Michael Bentin's Potty Time. Remember that?
The parties we'd have. Yeah.
Oh. What a way. Yeah, I think we should. Fuck it. This is you and I.
What a brilliant 20 years we'd have, mate.
God, just parties.
Drinking nothing but brandy and half pint glasses.
I'm up for it. There you go. See? Something positive has come from this. We're now going to get, our people are going to be listening and I'm going to get a message. All right. Yeah, is that what you're doing, is it? We haven't signed anything yet, but, you know. Maybe it's that. Maybe that. You know, like people make those deals with each other. All right, if we're not married by the time we're blah blah blah, then you and I.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see our days out together.
We'll see our days out together. I'd be quite happy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'd be fine, mate.
Play a bit of music. Yeah. That sort of stuff. Yeah,
we'd
nice.
We'd look great. The sounds would be brilliant. We'd be pissed every day.
Every day. From breakfast onwards.
And then I'd be like, Zoe, I know you said you wanted more. I'm sorry. I feel I've given you less. But
well, there'd be more in certain departments, wouldn't there? Let's be brutally honest.
There would. Yeah, there would.
Certain departments, there would definitely be more. And, you know, you wouldn't have to take it out of a drawer. So,
Right, Zoe, you know that's attached, right? You can't just yank it whenever you feel like it.
Just going to get the bottle cleaner on that, love.
It's got a funny colour.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear. There you are. Yeah. So how long are you on the steroids for? Just indefinitely?
I've got... I'm halfway through. So you start taking them with like a large dose and then they sort of taper off. So I've got another 2 weeks to go, but I've got the easy 2 weeks to go now that I've been through the extreme mania.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So I know what you mean.
I know what you mean about that mania. I was taking these diet pills.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise I was so angry. Because I wasn't when I took them the first time. They're called grenades, and they come in a plastic hand grenade.
I think there's a clue in the name there.
it's so manly.
It's going to make me angry.
Yeah, I know.
They're called grenade, which is a sort of it's a deadly weapon, really, isn't it? That sort of takes the limbs off people. He's like, yeah, these might make me angry.
That's how naive I am. I don't. Why am I angry? Oh yeah. Why am I shitting fists? Oh, because you're having. grenades. So these grenades. And when I first started taking them, I was going to the gym all the time, so I was burning it all off.
Yeah.
But I started taking them without the exercise.
That's a lot of pent up grenade.
God. Just watching telly, just want to fold the telly in half and throw it out the window.
Yeah. Well, you see, I go running every day because I have to.
Yeah.
And I go running every day, and you're going to laugh, Rich. I've bought myself this pull-up bar system that I've set up in the garden.
All right. Is this the one with the different colours on it?
It's an advert on...
Yeah.
You are?
Is this the one?
No, it's like a proper frame. I've bought a massive metal frame.
Oh, I see.
It was advertised on Facebook when I was right in the midst of my high dose of steroids. And I went, I'm going to buy that! And then 4 days later, this huge box arrived. I went, what have I bought? Oh, my God. I've basically brought a prison gym system. And I go out in the garden where I'm living in the New Forest at the moment with my beanie on and my vest top, and I do pull-ups in the garden.
Got a side of beef hanging up. So you punch that.
Oh, God. God, I am an absolute joke.
It sounds like you bought it when you were the Hulk. And
yeah,
then you came back down and went, what the fuck?
Oh, what have I done that for? Yeah, yeah. But no, I have to... Running has saved me the last 8 months.
Yeah.
Absolutely saved me. I don't think I'd have got through it without being able to just go running.
It does make a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it makes such a difference, mate. It makes such a difference. Because, A, you're getting rid of that energy, that built-up grenade energy that you have. And it's just time on your own. And time just, you know, I'm not a fast runner. I look ridiculous. I look like a penguin escaping a house fire. Really not a beautiful thing to watch. You know. You could actually, I know how bad a runner I am because people like 200 yards in front of me can hear me coming because of the flat-footed sort of, I'm like, you know, and then the just snot. And, it's ridiculous. I tried to do a snot rocket the other day. I thought, women don't do enough of this, do we? I see men snot rocketing all the time, and I thought, I'm going to give that a go. Don't ever attempt that. I had to run home just covered in my own snot. It just didn't...
Like Ghostbusters.
It just... Clearly, the reason women don't do it is we just don't have enough power behind the snot to make it clear our bodies.
I think you have to build it. You have to build up to that bit.
Yeah.
You have to build up to that. I think even men, the first couple go down yourself.
Yeah.
Or on your shoulder. Or you think it's gone and it's on your shoulder.
See, you never see women getting out of the sea doing that, do you? Just snot rocketing. I'd love to see that. Just a beautiful woman in a bikini, blonde hair, big boobs, just looking absolutely fucking gorgeous coming out of the sea and then just...
What was it, Ursula Andress in Dr. No?
Yeah, yeah.
Walking out.
Coming out.
Oh, fucking hell, it's got right up there, isn't it? Snorting into a conch shell.
Oh, I think that'd be my perfect woman.
Right, yeah. Let's get some chips.
What? Yeah, God.
Oh, God. It's when I've been doing any sort of exercise and someone gives me encouragement that I know I must look shit.
Keep going.
If I'm right, yeah, go on, son.
Well done, you. Yeah. Well done for trying.
I'll be riding my bike.
At least you're trying.
Yeah, exactly. Go on, mate. You can do it. I believe in you. But I've been riding my bike lately because I've got this day job, so I'm riding back to and from that.
Tell me about your day job. I don't know about this.
Oh, I'm working for a T-shirt company.
And, yeah.
Yeah, lovely, lovely lads. SOS Clothing. I think I mention them all the time. They're good lads. They're good lads. And they've turned me on and I've been helping them out. And they said the other day, they're going, do you know what, Rich? We love having you here, but the best day will come when you walk in here and go, I can't be here anymore. I've got to go and do my other shit. It's all come back. And I was like, it's such a nice thing.
Is that because they genuinely want you to have your career back or because you've become that much of a pain in the arse?
I think I'm just really shit at the job. Yeah. We love you, mate. Love having you around. You know, you're great for morale.
But we can't wait for you to leave.
Yeah, you cost us a fucking fortune.
What are you doing? What is your job title?
So I'm just kind of doing, I'm printing and I'm helping. I'm just doing whatever they want me to do.
Is it quite nice having that?
Do you know what? It's been a lifesaver, I'll be honest.
Good.
They have.
Yeah.
If they're listening, they'll be all embarrassed, but they genuinely have saved my life.
Yeah.
Because I had nothing. I did their podcast and I said, I used to work in a T-shirt place, so if you ever need anyone, and we all laughed.
Yeah.
And then they got really busy because it's all online.
Yeah.
And then they went, actually, do you want to? I'm like, I'd love to. So, yeah.
Great.
And that's, again, like you said before, you realise how lucky you are. So some people don't have that. Some people are proper fucked.
Yeah.
Whereas
they've
taken me on and they've gone, look, you know, the money's not great, but just do this and do that. And we're, you know.
It's not about the money, really, is it?
No,
it's
not about
just having that support and that sort of contact as well. And it's... I don't know whether you've found this during this period of time, but certain people have really surprised me with their warmth and their friendship and their support. And other people have, let's just say bitterly disappointed. Because it doesn't always come from where you think it'll come from. And
no.
People have a really beautiful way of surprising you.
Yes, absolutely. There has been... There's just people. I mean, like the lads going, the money's not great. But I'm like, but you have no idea how grateful I am and how much I needed it.
Yeah.
It to me, it's everything. It's not shit. It's great. And other people
great.
People that are just sending me a message going, you're right, mate. You know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even realise. I was going to say to you when we first started this chat, you didn't sound yourself. You sounded quite. There was a sadness.
And that's why talking helps. And as much as I sort of took the piss out of, you know, counselling and stuff, obviously I totally believe that talking helps. Of course it does. And what happens, you know, with me at the moment is it gets built up inside so that you have this... I spend a lot of time on the verge of tears at the moment.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time is spent in my own head.
Yes.
And you sort of, things go round cyclically and you can feel sad. You feel sad and you feel unhappy. But then as soon, like this is why this is so important, this pressure cooker sort of effect where you sort of take the lid off and you talk about stuff and you laugh about it and you expose it and expose your vulnerabilities and talk about the way that you're feeling desperate. And somebody else goes, me too. And by doing that, it's an old cliche, an old saying, but it literally, a problem shared is the problem halved. And once you realise that we're all, a lot of us are in the same boat and a lot of us are feeling the same things, it makes it bearable and it makes it tolerable, and it's really important. Yeah, yeah. So as much as I sort of slagged off people who, you know, therapists, etc., but you know the ones I mean.
I know exactly who you mean.
You know the ones,
yeah,
I mean.
They get their Christmas.
But I absolutely, absolutely think that talking is the best,
yeah,
the best way of dealing with things. It's just, and I, you know, it's, yeah, it helps so much.
But people,
so much.
Yeah, people. I think people get, when you say you should talk to each other, you know, talk to people. I think people don't realise that when you say that, you're not saying, right, go and, you know, go and talk to someone and go, I want to talk about my feelings. It's like, no, yeah, go and just go and talk. And then
just
out,
talk.
Go and have,
yeah,
a conversation, and then it will go wherever it goes, and you'll probably end up talking about the thing that's upsetting you.
Yeah.
In a roundabout, yeah, sort of way. But first of all, you'll probably take the piss out of each other, and you'll,
yeah,
you'll,
exactly,
have a bit of a laugh, and then it'll, and that's, it's just that, isn't it? It's just, when we say go and talk to someone, we just go and talk.
Be,
you know,
connected. Be,
yeah,
such, we're such sociable beings. We're such sociable beings.
Yeah, we are.
And it can, you know, what, we started talking, what, 50 minutes ago or so. But it,
yeah,
just, you know, your mood can change dramatically in that time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I could, like I said at the beginning of this, I was like, oh, she sounds, doesn't sound like the Zoe that I know. And then, and then we've ended, and then we're like, oh, yeah, no, we're back. This is
there
it.
There we are. Yeah, we're getting married.
Getting married. Who'd have thought it?
I know.
It's
lovely.
Yeah.
The way things pad out.
Isn't it? But it is, it seems so important to just go and chat shit to someone. And
yeah,
even,
yeah,
if you don't talk about the things that are bothering you, you might come away and go, oh, do you know what? I just needed that. Just chatting, yeah, shit with someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a really, really simple thing to do. But yes, absolutely.
Well, I wasn't even, I don't, like, people going, have you said, have you watched this? Have you watched that? And I'm like, no, I ain't got time. I ain't got time. I don't watch any of that. And like TV or film. And I went, I do have time. I instead of sitting on my phone, doom scrolling, flicking
doom
through that shit. Yeah, I wish I'd come up with that.
Doom scrolling.
Doom scroll. Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
talk me through your doom scrolling. What does that? What do you doom scroll through? Are you comparing yourself to others? Are you?
Everybody else
you
looks busy, didn't they? Everyone else looks like they're doing better than you, and not better than you. I mean, I don't mean that. I mean, everyone's got stuff on.
Yes.
And then it was only when someone else messaged me, Esther Manito messaged me, she went, fucking hell, Rich, you're on everything. I went, I'm not. What are you talking about? I feel like I'm on my phone all the time. But it's what it, everyone perceives it differently, don't they? So you,
yes,
think you're not that busy, but everyone, you're all doing something. And you end up Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you go back and around emails, and then an email will come in, an important one, and you go, oh, I'll do that later.
Yeah. I have on occasion found myself just staring at my inbox waiting for something to drop in. Isn't that, that's, you know, and you're like, wow, no, yeah. It's a weird thing that we do to ourselves, isn't it? Because we know it's not healthy.
Yeah.
Constantly doom scrolling. It's like, you know, it's the sort of modern day equivalent of smoking, really, isn't it? It does you that much.
Yeah.
You know, it's that bad for you. It costs you time, it costs you energy, it costs you emotion, it costs you your health in the end.
Yeah. And you're just sat there all day. All day.
Yeah.
I've wasted a day just looking at shit on my phone.
Just scrolling.
Yeah.
Can I tell you then, as an outsider and your future husband, wife?
Yeah.
That, you know, from me observing you through social media, you know, you've done so well with your podcasts, mate. You've done
well
and been so productive and produced such great stuff that it produces nothing but admiration in me. So you know,
cheers, mate.
There's a flip side of that. We tend to compare and then sort of have a negative connotation on that. But actually, if you sort of look at somebody's work like yours and the way that you're approaching this pandemic and the way that you're still producing and you're still creating these podcasts and having these conversations that are really, really important, I can look at that online and go, well, good for you, Rich. You know, good for you. That's good and that needs to be done. So it's maybe if you flip the way that you see it.
Yeah.
It'll enrich as opposed to despair.
Yeah, you're right. I do, and the lovely messages I get from people every week. There's a really nice community building.
Yeah,
that, of like, you know, some wonderful people out there, and yeah,
it's really important, Rich, and they really mean it. They really, really mean it. And each one of those heartfelt messages is a little dollop of love.
Yeah.
So. Don't doom scroll.
No.
Love scroll.
What a great T-shirt that would be. I'm going to tell the lads. We're going to print
this.
See
it, less of a scrolling, more of a fingering. There you go. You can have that.
Less scrolling, more fingering. That's what it needs to happen. That's how we'll get through this.
Yeah.
More fingering. Oh God! That's the thing with the lads. Sometimes we have a bit of a laddie moment, but on the whole, with the T-shirt lads, we're actually they're very sensitive dudes, and we have these incredible conversations. Yeah. And it goes from very deep, meaningful, heartfelt stuff, and talking about our feelings and things that have happened in our lives and shit that's gone on. And then we'll be talking about what we've put in our bums when we were kids.
Yeah. All equally important.
All equally important. So get out there and have those conversations, everyone.
Yeah.
But I do. Right. I don't take it for granted. I do appreciate everyone that listens to this and everyone that messages and it's my own insecurities that make me go, oh, is this worth doing? And it is.
Oh, totally, mate. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
So so you're staying? So you've got your exercise equipment set up?
I've got my prison gym outside.
Prison gym.
Where I'm top bitch, obviously.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
And are you able to do pull-ups? Have you done it?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the thing with me is, if I put my mind to something, I do it. Often what I put my mind to is of no use whatsoever. I should be putting my mind to writing a show or maybe pitching some radio ideas. But my brain goes, Zoe, you're a 49-year-old woman, learn to do a chin-up. So then my brain will go. And all of my energy will go into that. And so, yes, I can, and I do. Yeah.
Well
and
done.
I love it. I like feeling strong. And
I haven't done a pull-up in years. I mean, this is... I'm a bit of a lump
they're
now.
They're not easy. not easy for a lady because of her weaker back muscles. But,
Yeah, you birds. It's not... you see, saucepan, just where you got to stick to your
strength.
Can I
tell you,
strength.
It's a soft-shell crab. I'm finding it quite difficult. So, yes, I put my energies into that. So, but no, exercise helps me an awful lot.
Yeah.
Awful lot. As does nature. I'm actually a massive hippie.
Oh, right.
I was down running round, down near the Solent, near where I am in the New Forest the other day. And there was a sea, I was feeling particularly low and I was having a bit of a moment and I was running in the rain. And the advantages of running in the rain are nobody can tell you're crying. every cloud. Oh, you're wet. They're just the tears. But then out of nowhere came this beautiful rainbow. And I ran past this field that was full of geese and there were calves in the field.
Yeah.
And the calves suddenly got a bit skittish and started chasing the geese. And then the geese all took off as one, like an enormous RAF flight squadron of geese. There was like 50 geese. Oh. And they make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
They make a huge, like the roar of their bill went over me. So there's this rainbow, these calves skipping in the air for joy. And then 50 huge geese flew over my head. And then that moment I just went, fucking get in. Look at that.
I'm the same as you. I get when, like you said, with the
mosaic of nature all around me. How can you be fucking miserable when this is happening?
I totally get it. It's like the other morning I just looked out the window and it was the sunrise and it came up and it was perfect. I'm just sat there going, fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's that's beautiful, and it really didn't last long. I was like, and then the clouds came in, and I was like,
Oh, I see my eye, bastard.
Oh, now I can all shut my eyes, I still see the sun. I fucked myself.
Oh, that sunlight's right in my bastard eye.
Can't see my phone.
Yeah, but I think you'll know you'll always be all right if you can snap yourself out of even the deepest moods and just go, oh, yeah, have a look at that. That's bloody lovely.
That's what it is, isn't it? Have a look up now and again and look around you.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. This has been lovely, Zoe.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it, Rich.
I've really enjoyed it. And I got to be honest, I was a bit gloomy on the way down. But I feel energised.
Well, you were going to Tunbridge Wells, mate. Anybody would be. You know, that's the reality of life, isn't it? You're in a cupboard in Tunbridge Wells. I'd have felt a bit fucking gloomy too. Anytime I go to Kent, I'm angry. I'm like, oh, God, the Garden of England. Yeah, but it's got a washing machine on bricks in the front.
Yeah. Everything's paved
the
over.
Union Jack flag over it. Yeah, the Garden of England. Look at that. Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off, you. Oh, mate. Zoe, where can we find you? Have you got anything to plug? Anywhere? Or where can we find you online?
You can find... I have something to plug.
Oh, lovely.
You can find me online on Twitter at Zoe Lyons. I think I'm so rarely on there. I'm on Instagram, I think. I think it's Zoe Lyons Comedy.
Okay.
Might be that. You can check out my latest alopecia photos. I've taken the very opposite approach to Instagram to most influencers. I'm like, look how shit I look.
Look, my arsehole's looking great.
Yeah. There's no pouting, just patchy hair. Go and have a look at that. It's like the shittiest Kardashian you've ever seen. The Carcrashians. And I, during all of this madness, managed to record 25 episodes of a game show that's coming out on the BBC in January.
Fantastic.
So it's called Lightning, and it'll be on BBC Two at 6:30 of an evening.
Oh, mate. That's prime time.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You're going to be like pointless, a new pointless.
Watch it and see if you can watch it, dear listeners, and see if you can see where they painted in my bald patches. Just watch it for that.
You're going to get loads of messages now going, I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a wonderful, wonderful makeup artist who was very kind and sweet and so caring.
How did they bring the subject up?
I did. I had to go, I'm missing hair here. Can you paint that in, please? And they were like, we filmed it in Northern Ireland. She was like, I ain't no bother at all. Fill that in. There you go.
Oh, lovely.
I'll see that. Yeah. So that's happening in January.
Oh, lovely. I'll look out for that. I'll look forward to it. Zoe, this has been great. Please look after yourself.
You look after yourself too.
You're
Rich.
Smashing.
I'm here for you, mate.
And you, absolutely.
And just so you know, I don't want a big wedding.
No, I know, low key. Just low key.
Let's keep it low key.
Let's keep it low key and just get. Yeah. We'll have the wedding because get the wedding out of the way, then we get on with the party.
Absolutely.
All right.
Can we make a promise to each other?
Yeah.
Let's get squiffy on wine and beer when all of this is over.
Yes, please. I would really like that. That would be fantastic.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I promise, as soon as we can, I will message you and we'll organise that.
Let's do it. I'm looking forward.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Thanks, Zoe. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my love. You take care. Speak to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.